podcast is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory. This podcast is also rated R and F. The F is for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Especially, there's an extra fuck you too in today's episode. Welcome, bienvenue, at another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. MrShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. the Canadian Controversial Negro, a.k.a. Gaston Lucien Big Daddy Labrador. All right, it's July 5th, 2026. All right, and we're at episode 353. And in today, I will be talking about, I'm going to respond to some anti-Black, anti-Haitian tirade by, what's her name? By some cave bitch. It's something that Megyn Kelly had said a long time ago, and I just got around to like sharing my thoughts. But before I do any of that, I would like to share some quotables and some randomness. Nous commençons. Let's start with quotables. Just these are quotes or quotables that just struck me this week and somewhat relate to today's final say. First one goes, your assignment is not to heal toxic people. Find out what drew you to them. Heal that. Next one is, having the capacity to understand somebody else's behavior does not mean you should tolerate it. And the next one is a satisfied life is more beautiful than a successful one. Success is seen by the world, but satisfaction is felt by your soul. Message. And the last one by the late great, by the great poet Flavor Flav. He goes, they claim we're products from the bottom of hell. Because the black is back and we're bound to sell. Picture us cooling on the 4th of July. And if you heard, we were celebrating. That's a worldwide lie. Yo, Chuck, the Fat General. Okay, that's it. All right, that's it for quotables. Now I will be, let's share some randomness.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
All right. This particular randomness, I'm gloating about the fact that my books by Evan Winter, I talked about it in a previous episode. But he's author of the book series, I think they're calling it The Burning. And the first book is called Rage of Dragons. Second one is Fire of Vengeance. Anyways, the book finally came in. And I'm making a big deal out of the fact that I bought them locally. Again, I forget which episode that I talk about it, but read the show notes. Anyways, I bought it locally. And there was something about walking into this bookstore. This was a small bookstore. I guess I had gotten so used to going to the big chains. But this was like a mom and pop bookstore. I walk in. And the lady, the person working the cash was already busy with someone else. And then another lady came in and goes, hey, can I help you? Whatever. Someone else, I said, yeah, I'm here to pick up a book. I don't know if she could help hear the pride in my voice. I'm like, I'm here to pick up a book that I pay for it locally. Anyways, and is this the word? Virtual singing? Virtual singling? I'm like, I felt like the guy, the first person to drive an electric car. I'm better than, and whatever. So I walk in, and homegirls went to the back, can't find the book. Said, what's the name it's under? I'm like, come on, lady, don't fuck with the vibe. And I told my name. Said, oh, okay. Then she finds the book and she comes up. And then she's talking to her colleague. Colleague said, hey, don't forget to put a bookmark in the book. I lost it. I'm like, wait a minute. You people are going to give me a bookmark as well? She said, yeah, whatever. Yeah, you want a bag for it too? You're going to give me a bag too? Oh my God. And whatever. Yeah, so I'm like, so I asked kindly, I said, do you mind, can I give y'all a high five? And say, yeah, thank you. And I told them how I was really looking forward to these books. I mean, I read it already, right? But I was really looking forward to be in possession of a book written by a black man from Britain, whatever, but this is the point, right? That I bought locally. And I told them how, yeah, I was looking forward to this book. And the biggest part is I paid for it locally. I mean, I bought it locally. Now, I'm not saying the women in that bookstore were ready to give up, to, you know, give me the pussy over this shit. But I got a sense that they were proud of the local purchase. So buy local, kids. I think this is the whole point of this is buy local. And yay for me. You know what? Yay for me. Yay! Yeah, this is a segment about how if you don't buy local, you a sucker. Who am I kidding? Don't get me wrong. I got my limits, but I'm just, it's an accomplishment.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
All right. This one is me acknowledging the 4th of July. I am going to say shout out to Black American siblings. And I know that, you know what? Shout out to my Black American siblings, and this one, and I dedicate this next piece, this next remix of the National Anthem by Nigel D. Robinson to all of you.
Oh, say, can you see me hanging in the tree? Such a compromised position I am in. Stripes on my back, illustrating my attack. As I hang upon this rugged oak of sin, the people gawked and they glared. I was gasping for air.
Right. If you hang out with Black Americans long enough, you'll recognize that there are two Americas. The America that you hear about and their America. So, happy 4th of July to those celebrating.
So, you're a philosopher?
Yes.
Okay. For this one here... This is a public service another public service announcement. Tell you what, I'll just play a sample of it. Oh, I should mention links will be in the show notes. You can check it out yourself, especially the last one, because I don't know if you heard the lyrics properly, but the lyrics are captured in the video. So this one here is what people aren't saying about white people.
I genuinely want to meet the PR team for white people, because how did this race of people that literally hang people from trees like a piñata and then gather around with their kids and family like it's somebody's cumpleaños convince you that black people are the ones that are dangerous? Mm. How did this race of people that make up 90% of offing their entire family convince you that you should procreate with them? How did this race of people that literally have stolen everything they got, from land to money to culture to technology to people, convince you that black people are the ones that are thieves? Because if they can steal thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of people, I'm pretty sure your water bottles are definitely up for grab. How did this race of people that burn in the sun convince you that their skin color is more superior than everyone else's? Because I think Mother Nature would disagree. Where did this race of people that make up 60% of child sexual abuse cases convince you that black people don't know how to treat kids? And we sitting at a whopping 28%. Once again, this PR team is something crazy, something lethal. And we genuinely need to all sit down and have a meeting with this PR team, because this is really getting outrageous. We need to hear it in the comment section, because we need to schedule a meeting with this PR team, because I'm done.
The whole time he kept asking this question, the question, how did they convince you? My mind kept going to white Jesus. What I mean by white Jesus, I'm thinking about the portrait of the Final Supper. It was the Final Supper, Final Supper, of all white Jesus and all his disciples. And I'm thinking of that portrait that was hanging in my parents' kitchen. And that fucked me up. I think that's at the core of how they convinced us, is by convincing us that the almighty creator looks like Deb and nothing like us.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
And before I forget, the last video just... The message you heard came from Experience Reality Pod. Links are in the show notes.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
And for this next one is another public service announcement by ADIV Unsolicited. I've played some messages by him before, but this one is on point. Needs to be heard, and I feel like it will provide a good base for today's final say.
Let me ask you something. If you ran the banks, the courts, the media, the military, and the history books, why would you need to hate or be scared of me? That's the question nobody wants to answer that I've had for a long time. Because anti-black racism doesn't make logical sense. And the moment you actually examine it, the whole thing falls apart. Black people live in community with each other and focus on ourselves. So the concept of being so obsessed with another group of people that you have to go out of your way to hate, oppress, violate, talk bad about, besmirch, to validate your own existence, and to reinforce this false hierarchy you've developed in your mind is not only illogical, it's mind-boggling. So what is it about black people that anti-blackness is so much of a part of the fabric of this country that even immigrant populations adapt to it and participate in this very specific type of race?
All right, I'm not going to play the whole thing because it's, I'm not sure the length of the video, but it's, I will leave it for yourself. Yeah, it's probably going to be at least 5 minutes. Anyways, it's worth checking out. It's worth checking out, especially the visuals in the background as he speaks. Like, this is an amazing montage. It's, you leave with a sense of pride. Probably my biggest add-on, the only thing I would add to, compliment my reflection to what he was saying is, the whole time he's talking, I'm thinking about how all these complaints white people have about black people, every gripes, whatever, all stems from the fact that these motherfuckers kidnapped us, dragged us into their world. It's a dysfunctional relationship we have with white people. And, like, I mean, it's like, I feel like we've been cursed. Like, don't mean to laugh, but yeah, I feel like we've been cursed. And the thing is, white children will never know that because their parents are constantly censoring or giving them, like you said, cookie cut version of their history. When I look at how Israel is doing Palestine, I can understand how Israel could be partnered with the United States, because they're both doing atrocious, the United States have done or continue to do, Israel is doing atrocious shit, and still convincing themselves we are the good guys. How do you, anyway, I can't say more than he hasn't said better, but yes, I think at the core of what I'm saying is anti-blackness, the fallacy, the how illogical racism is, but it's the concept of racism is illogical, but it's profitable.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
I have to stop myself. All these points, by the way, I'm sharing are all points I try to fit in. I wanted to fit into my final say, but I realized that it's a different discussion. But yeah, the last point, the last video, and I won't play it. Let me just bring it up so I can give you context about it. It's I'm going to invite you, links are in the show notes. I'm going to invite you to check it out. It's under the title, The Real Role of Voodoo in the Haitian Revolution. And it's by, the content creator's name is Marco J. Williams. I know you Haitian. Marco? I'm assuming. No, Williams is not Haitian. Okay. Marco William, unless it's William. Marco G. William. Anyways, and I will let you check it out. His brother's articulate and eloquent breaks it down. But my point is, he just reminded me of how I also grew up with the notion as a Haitian kid. I grew as a Haitian kid with Christian parents. I grew up with the notion that voodoo was evil, voodoo was dangerous. People who practice voodoo are savages, crazy, or bad people. And I remember what kind of like affected my thinking is that the Museum of, I was in Ottawa, and the Museum of Nature, one of our museums, had an exposition on voodoo. I mean, I was unlocked it before, but I remember being confused at, wait a minute, these white folks are doing a presentation on voodoo when my parents just done told me. I say my parents, but you know, these Christian Haitian Christians had convinced me that it was voodoo was all kinds of like not worthy of being taught, of being exposed. Anyway, so what I like about this content creator, the one point that he makes that stuck to me, he said, the whole time we were told it was dangerous, what we were really saying, it was dangerous for the slave owners. They're the ones who convinced Haitians that, yeah, man, that voodoo shit, stay away from it. Because we don't want to die. And another point that he makes in the video that I like, he goes, when people believe their power come from outside of them, they can be shaped. Out of the many resentment I have about with Christianity was this constant message that you're too stupid. You don't have the brain capacity to make a decision. Talk to God. You want strength? Talk to God. You want to stop cheating on your wife? Talk to God. You want to make money? Talk to God. Everything has to go through him. Like, the power was always on the outside, never in with. I remember the first time I was taught the concept of self-esteem or believing in yourself and realizing that I believe, I have more belief in a blonde-haired, blue-eyed white boy, Jewish white boy in the Middle East who could walk on water than I have in my own self. I don't, all right, okay, I've said too much. But yes, voodoo is, check out the clip, The Real Role of Voodoo in the Haitian Revolution. And that concludes Corbos and Randomness. Let's do next part is the final say, what everyone came to hear about. But before I start any of that, I'm going to take a quick break. All right, we're back. I'm going to create a soundtrack section in the, I'm going to add a soundtrack section in the show notes. All the songs that inspired today's final thoughts or that somehow, some way. But this one that I was playing during the break, it's called, it's the band name or the artist name is ICXN. So different. I discovered them on, was it on Thread? Someone posted it and I am grateful for it. And it's got a nice smooth beat. It's a nice smooth track and whatnot. Anyway, all right, so we are back. Oh, I'm also going to play this clip. It's of This is Haiti. And it's when I was looking for the actual quote by Megyn Kelly. And when I was looking for her, all I saw was everyone who responded to her. And this is one of the links that I found, and it's called This is Haiti. And it's pretty much doing what I'm about to do. Turning lemon into lemonade. And it starts with her comment, and then it just goes into the beauty of Haiti as a country. With that said, all right, so here, let me just try to find my notes. Well, okay, I'm going to read it. I wrote it down. Again, like I said, these thoughts were heavy on my mind. Tried to brush it off, couldn't, and then I found myself just putting my thoughts on paper, and this is what I came down with. Now, I got to admit, these are, I'm going to call it my abridged thoughts. I feel like I wrote a book, try to make a movie out of it, and I spent and there's a shitload of things that I wanted to put in the movie, but I had to cut out in the interest of time and also to make it make sense. And also, you know, not try to go on a tangent, but wait, where'd it go? Where the fuck did the white man steal my notes? Where did it go? There it is. All right, okay. There it goes. Let me just try to format it. So, all right. It goes a little something like this. Keep in mind that I'm an artist and I'm sensitive about my shit. All right, let's go. So, oh, wait. I forgot. Before I start, initially, my first thought in response to Megyn Kelly was,
shut your mouth, Kane, bitch.
And then after processing some thought, like a mature adult processing it, here's what I put down on paper. Needless to say, Megyn Kelly's comments bothered me. For a minute, I considered doing what a lot of us do whenever someone says something racist. Pretend it didn't get to me. Pretend I'm above it. Pretend words don't matter. But they did bother me. So instead of pretending to be unbothered, I decided to make a final say out of it.
Message!
If life gives you lemon, make lemonade. The thing about Megyn Kelly isn't just that she said something racist. It's that she has built a successful career saying things that appeal to people who reward that kind of rhetoric. That's what I find disturbing. Her comments reminded me that racism isn't just alive, it's profitable. I don't really know much about Megyn Kelly. I just know that whatever she's selling, enough people keep buying it to keep the lights on. And that's the part I think we should pay attention to. The most dangerous kind of racism isn't always the person wearing a white hood. Sometimes it's the person who can say something dehumanizing while convincing themselves they're simply telling hard truths. It's racism that doesn't feel racist to the people participating in it.
Message!
Here's the uncomfortable part. I have to admit that racism has shaped me too. Not because I agree with people like Megyn Kelly, but because we grew up inside many of the same racist institutions. The difference is, I've been trying to unlearn those lessons since I was 11 years old. Whenever I find myself subconsciously agreeing with a white racist, I stop and ask myself why. Not because they're right, I want to be clear, not because they're right, but because I know we were often taught many of the same lies about who belongs, who deserves respect, and whose lies matter. When I heard her tell Haitians to go back, I realized something. Her words hurt because they touched an old wound. Growing up, I heard people talk badly about Haiti, Haitians, all the time. Sometimes it came from strangers, sometimes it came from other Haitians. If you hear those messages long enough, eventually you start believing them. I imagine every community that's been treated like society's scapegoat knows this feeling. Muslims after 9/11, Asians after COVID, Latinos whenever immigration dominates the news. Pretty much whoever society decides is going to play the role of the underclass. Point at them, blame them, then tell everyone at least you're not them. One of my favorite quotes comes from Tyrion Lannister from Game of Thrones. Yes, I'm rushing because I know House of Dragons is tonight. Never forget, never forget what you are. The rest of the world will not. Wear it like an armor, and it can't never be used to hurt you. That quote hit me differently this week because there was a time when I was ashamed of being black. Shit, I think I spent a significant portion of my childhood being ashamed of being black. And there was definitely a time when I was ashamed of being Haitian. I honestly don't know which one I struggled with more. When I was 11 years old, hearing Run DMC, Proud to Be Black, was one of the first moments I realized I was allowed to feel pride instead of shame. Later in high school, I surrounded with Haitians who were unapologetically proud of where they came from. Their pride became contagious. Then Wyclef, then Muzayan, especially with their track, La Vie Tinègre, which will be part of the sound today's soundtrack, this episode's soundtrack, that song spoke directly to my experience growing up Haitian in Canada. Looking back, I realized Megyn Kelly accidentally reminded me of something she could never take away. I love being Haitian. I love our resilience. I love our culture. I love our history. And I wouldn't trade it for anything, not for acceptance, not for approval, not for the comfort of people who only know how to feel good about themselves by looking down on someone else. Because if there's one thing I've learned, it's that Tyrion was right. Never forget what you are. The rest of the world won't. So wear it like an armor.
Blue fire!
Yeah. That's it. All right, what am I missing? I guess those are today's final say. That's it. So I went from hurt feelings to acceptance to remembering that, man, I'm used to people talking shit, especially white folks, especially when they're looking for a scapegoat, especially when they're looking for ways to make themselves, to elevate themselves. I went from accepting that and to remembering that, yeah, you won't break me, bitch. You and your people will not break me. Anyways, you will not take this shit away from you. All right, so this concludes today's episode. If, like you always, holler if you hear me. Website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. I would like to hear if you could relate to what I'm saying. Holler back. Talk to our brother. And before I wrap up the show, I want to remind you that this podcast was a safe space for my thoughts, and they were protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue.
Rouge et bleu. Rouge et bleu.
I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario and Télé-Québec. I represent and hold it down for black folks who said yes when they heard Big Rube ask,
"Are you an outcast?"
This episode was rated R and F. The F was for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, fucking liberal as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Thank you for listening, and remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right, peace.
I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black.